NBC News World Headquarters in New York. This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening. A deadly storm system is punishing parts of half a dozen states tonight, from eastern Texas to southern Illinois, with well over a foot of rain so far and a lot more to come. Texas, Louisiana, and Arkansas are under flash flood warnings, with the flood risk extending into Mississippi and north into Missouri and Illinois. The severe weather has left at least two people dead. It's forced evacuations and left thousands without power. NBC's Janet Shamlian reports tonight from Houghton, Louisiana.
A community underwater tonight in Bossier City, Louisiana, near Shreveport. More than a foot of rain in a matter of hours, most of it coming in the dark of night. Chastity Anderson says they were taken by surprise.
Yeah, I mean, it's scary because the water was a lot higher than it is now.
More than 100 homes underwater, some submerged 3 or 4 feet.
Most of the residents left here or had to be rescued in the middle of the night. They were hoping to get back into their homes today. But with the rain still coming down so hard, there's no chance of that.
Got a line levee out here, put over top.
Beyond Louisiana, potential flooding from Texas to Illinois. 22 million people under flood watches, stretching 1,000 miles. In San Antonio, a school bus rounding a curve lost control and flipped. The rain-slick road thought to be the cause. 2 children and 2 adults escaped serious injury. Throughout the region, downed trees have toppled power lines, leaving 35,000 without electricity. And the rain keeps coming. Taylortown, Louisiana, reported more than 14 inches, with more on the way. The Bossier City Fire Chief says in a quarter century, he's rarely seen it this bad.
We did not expect to have as much rain as we had, and without any time for it to drain off.
I think it's already crested.
Doug Ketchum and his brother-in-law borrowed a boat to check on neighbors. All were okay, but they lost 2 horses and a dozen goats in the fast-rising water.
1991, it done the exact same thing it is now.
And just a short time ago, a new mandatory evacuation order was issued. This one for 3,500 homes here, over fears that one of the bayous would overtake its levee, further devastating this community. Lester.
Janet Shamlian tonight, thank you. Tonight, Donald Trump says he's looking to take out his rivals for the Republican nomination once and for all. After overcoming a barrage of attacks and scoring decisive victories in 3 of 4 states up for grabs last night. And Hillary Clinton, hoping to turn her attention to Trump, scored a landslide victory in Mississippi. But Bernie Sanders pulled off the biggest shocker of the night in Michigan. High drama on both sides. Let's start with NBC's Hallie Jackson on the GOP campaign in Miami. Hello, Hallie.
Lester, good evening. Donald Trump is racking up more delegates in a sign those establishment attacks aren't working, not yet at least. His rival's best shot against Trump happening in the next 6 days as we build towards showdowns in Ohio and here in Florida, where 99 delegates are up for grabs. And tonight, it's Trump looking most likely to take them home. Donald Trump now ready for the final round to put this fight away.
That's the ultimate way of doing it. You knock him out. If you knock him out, nothing can happen.
You want to go for a knockout?
I'd rather go for a knockout.
Trump in one corner. In the other, the movement to try to stop him. After months of silence, the hits now coming harder and faster. Our NBC News analysis shows $8.5 million spent on ads against Trump in Florida alone. That's where the frontrunner, after winning in Michigan, Mississippi, and Hawaii, celebrated his well-done election night with raw Trump steaks, a moment more QVC than GOP.
You have the water, you have the steaks. You have the airline that I sold. I mean, what's wrong with selling? Every once in a while you can sell something.
Voters seem to be buying it. If Trump wins in Florida and Ohio, he'll have a clear path to the nomination. New polls show John Kasich close in the Buckeye State. But in Florida, Trump's up 2-1 over Marco Rubio, who's brushing off VP talk now, struggling to show how he stays in.
You are calling him a con artist. I can't.
I don't want to be. I'm not running for vice president. I'm not looking to be anyone's vice president. I want to be the president of the United States.
You sure ask about it then.
Rubio's regret, his insults,
like
trying to out-Trump Trump.
And you know what they say about men with small hands?
That's not something I'm entirely proud of. My kids were embarrassed by it, and I, you know, if I had to do it again, I wouldn't.
He's meeting with former rival Jeb Bush, who's also talking with John Kasich and Ted Cruz in what looks like the establishment's last gasp. Cruz picking up support from a familiar face, Carly Fiorina. all of them looking to stop the front runner, but looking more unlikely to do it with just 6 days left. Hallie Jackson, NBC News, Miami.
This is Kristen Welker, Senator Bernie Sanders pulling off a stunning upset in Michigan.
We've now won, I guess, 9 states. And a lot more are yet to come.
Today, Sanders telling Andrea Mitchell it's a sign he can go the distance.
The polls always have us very, very far behind until Election Day. And then we have won state after state with huge margins.
It has been an unpredictable year for pollsters. In Michigan, the high percentage of independents threw off the polling. Sanders' win so unexpected, even he was caught off guard, prompting this hastily arranged late press event.
The political revolution that we are talking about is strong in every part of the country.
Despite the upset, Clinton has a substantial lead in delegates. Today, the Clinton campaign downplayed the loss, particularly after her big win in Mississippi last night, looking ahead to next week's battleground primaries.
If you work for me and if you vote for me, I will work my heart out for you.
But the loss in Michigan underscores vulnerabilities. Democratic officials expressing concern Clinton was so focused on pivoting to the general election, her ground game faltered, and more troublesome, her message failed to resonate with working class, independent, and younger voters. Sanders hammered Clinton for supporting past trade deals. Exit polls show Sanders beating Clinton on the issue of trade and that she is less honest and trustworthy.
As long as we have a good week next week, if we win Ohio, nobody will remember it.
Sanders has a steep climb. He needs to win 60% of all remaining delegates to clinch the nomination. But he has the momentum and the money, raking in millions from small donors.
That will keep him in the race a lot longer than he might have otherwise been.
According to our latest poll, both Clinton and Sanders beat Donald Trump by double digits. Meanwhile, just hours before tonight's debate, the RNC announced it's filing a lawsuit over Clinton's emails, the Clinton campaign calling that suit frivolous. Lester.
Kristen Welker, thank you. An investigation is underway into the massive explosion that leveled several buildings in Seattle and injured 9 firefighters. They were on the scene before the blast, checking out reports of a natural gas leak when the worst happened. NBC's Gotti Schwartz has the details.
Dispatch, mayday, mayday, mayday.
A frantic call over the emergency radio after a catastrophic blast.
I have firefighters missing.
Followed by an incredible response.
All members are accounted for.
I do have 2 members that have injury from flying debris.
All told, 9 firefighters injured, but all of them alive. Minutes earlier, the firefighters had been searching for a gas leak near 3 businesses, now totally obliterated from a blast that sent debris and a shockwave throughout the entire neighborhood.
I woke up to a huge boom. I looked out the window and my neighborhood exploded.
The call originally came in at 1 in the morning after someone reported smelling natural gas. Firefighters responded, searching for the leak, before an explosion so powerful it registered as an earthquake. The blast caught on this store surveillance video.
We know as firefighters that this is a very dangerous job.
Each year, natural gas explosions wreak havoc. In New Jersey last year, an explosion leveled this home and injured 15. In 2014, another explosion in Harlem killed 8 and injured more than 70. And in 2010, 8 were killed and entire blocks leveled in a pipeline explosion that rocked San Bruno, California. Today in Greenwood, the neighborhood coffee shop, a convenience store, and a restaurant are unrecognizable in the rubble.
Complete disbelief that something like this would happen.
But the entire community, even children in the playground, are giving thanks that every firefighter survived.
Tonight, the Seattle fire chief says all of those firefighters have been released from the hospital. They are shaken up, but they are in good spirits. He says all of them were completely decked out in protective gear and helmets. And ultimately, that's what kept them safe. Lester?
Gotti Schwartz, thank you. Questions are being raised after a fugitive wanted for the attempted murder of a pastor who led a prayer at a Ted Cruz rally was able to board a plane and fly across the country, making his way all the way to the White House, where he was taken down by Secret Service. Here's NBC's justice correspondent, Pete Williams.
The Secret Service searched the White House grounds today at the spot where police say an Idaho man, Kyle Odom, tossed papers and a thumb drive over the fence last night. He's charged with shooting a pastor outside a church in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, Sunday, the day before Pastor Tim Remington gave the invocation at a Ted Cruz rally.
A humble man that listens to God and listens to the people.
Police say after Sunday's shooting, Odom boarded a flight and made his way to Washington despite an arrest warrant for attempted murder. A former Homeland Security official says the no-fly list is not for wanted fugitives.
The system was designed to prevent terrorists from getting on airplanes and protecting the aviation system against terrorists. It was not designed to find every criminal in the criminal database or every lookout that the national law enforcement community is looking for.
Even so, TSA screeners who check IDs are briefed before their shifts on names of high-priority fugitives, but it depends on prompt notice from police, which in this case did not come in time. Idaho police say Odom has a history of mental problems. On his Facebook page, he wrote, "The world is ruled by an ancient civilization from Mars. Pastor Tim was one of them." And in a 30-page letter, he said President Obama is aware that Martians are taking control of people's minds. As Pastor Remington recovers from 6 gunshot wounds, his family is optimistic.
He's probably a little afraid, but his faith is stronger than anything else in his life. So he'll pull through.
Odom appeared briefly in court today and was ordered held without bond while Idaho police seek to get him back. Pete Williams, NBC News, Washington.
U.S. forces in Iraq have captured a chemical weapons expert for ISIS, according to a senior defense official. Under interrogation, he has reportedly revealed key information about ISIS's chemical weapons and operations. This detainee formerly worked for Saddam Hussein's regime. Defense officials say ISIS has already used artillery loaded with chlorine and mustard powder. Thousands have begun paying their last respects to former First Lady Nancy Reagan. She is lying in repose at her husband's presidential library in California through tomorrow. And tonight, NBC News is hearing exclusively from her daughter, Patty Davis, about the legacy her mother leaves behind. NBC's Andrea Mitchell has more.
Today, Nancy Reagan began her final journey, her casket carried by her Secret Service detail, past and present. Salutes as the hearse traveled the freeways, including one named for her husband, usually jammed. Today, area fire departments paying tribute. And as the hearse approached the Reagan Library, people gathering. Some with red roses, Nancy Reagan red. Patty Davis spoke with Maria Shriver, also a former California First Lady.
It's really comforting to see all of these people who, I'm sure, are not all Republicans,
right,
standing out on freeway overpasses to pay their respects.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend our sister Nancy.
Mrs. Reagan will lie in repose for 2 days as people pay their respects. Today, including House Speaker Paul Ryan. The last years in declining health and without her, Ronnie, were lonely.
She told me once that she was not afraid to die. She said, "I don't want it to hurt. When I'm not afraid to die, I'll see Ronnie again."
Now a 3-day period of mourning.
America on Sunday lost a former First Lady. But I lost my mother. I'm happy for her that she's with my father.
Nancy Reagan will be laid to rest Friday next to her Ronnie, finally at peace. Andrea Mitchell, NBC News.
Still ahead tonight, con artists posing as IRS agents on the phone, tricking thousands into handing over money. We even caught one of the scammers in the act. We've got an urgent warning for you tonight. There is an urgent warning from the IRS and the FBI about a scam that thousands have fallen for. Phone calls demanding money for taxes you don't owe. It's so widespread, the IRS placed it on a list of so-called Dirty Dozen tax frauds for this year. NBC's Olivia Stearns met with one woman who can't escape these threatening phone calls.
This call is an official final notice call from Internal Revenue Services. We have filed a lawsuit.
So he's saying final notice, and we have filed a lawsuit.
Yes. It's scary.
That's the third call Gretchen Lindquist has gotten in just 3 weeks from someone pretending to be with the IRS and demanding money.
It's very upsetting. And then this morning, again, one more time, from a different phone number, I'm starting to feel threatened by the repeat calls.
Luckily, Gretchen, an IT analyst in Houston, is savvy enough to know these calls are bogus. 900,000 people have reported getting one of these calls, and the IRS estimates 5,000 have paid up.
The concern is that we're just scratching the surface, that this is just the tip of the iceberg. And even anecdotally, knowing the people in this office have gotten calls like this, my father has gotten calls like this.
U.S. Attorney Preet Bharara works to track down the people on the other end of the line. Last year, he sent the ringleader of a massive IRS call center fraud to jail for 14 years.
How hard is it to catch these guys?
It's sometimes very difficult because you have people who are not necessarily in the United States. You have shell companies that are being used.
The IRS wants you to know it will never contact you for the first time by phone, demand credit card information, or threaten arrest. Gretchen and I decided to call one of the numbers back.
Thank you for calling the investigation team of IRS. How can I help you?
You just called my friend and threatened her with a lawsuit, claiming to be a federal agency.
It's a prank.
Good boy.
For Gretchen, though, it's no joke.
I don't even want to answer the phone. I'm about to get my cellular phone number changed.
Now, if you do get a call like this, the U.S. attorney is asking that you please hang up the phone and report it to the FBI. You can do so right on their website or by phone. But Lester, remember, no matter what, the most important thing here is please do not give your Social Security number out over the phone.
How about that reaction? It's a prank.
It's a prank.
Unbelievable. All right. Thank you very much. We're back in a moment with the airline that delayed a flight on purpose so passengers could catch a rare show in the sky. Disappointing news from doctors at the Cleveland Clinic, who today said the nation's first uterus transplant has failed. A 26-year-old woman received the transplant 2 weeks ago, and everything appeared to be going well until she encountered complications and the uterus had to be removed. The patient is recovering, and the hospital says it will continue to try more transplants, which have been successful in Europe. Most of us in the U.S. couldn't see last night's total solar eclipse with our own eyes, but passengers aboard one Alaska Airlines flight got the view from 37,000 feet over the Pacific. About a dozen astronomers were on board to witness the very rare phenomenon. One of them got the airline to push the flight back 25 minutes, so they'd intercept it at the perfect time. And that will do it for us on a Wednesday night. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching, and good night.